In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we have the celebration already pre-fast of the Epiphany of the Lord, and we have also Saint Sylvester, the Pope of Rome, celebrated, and of course Saint Seraphim of Sarov, and we're celebrating his memory. You know of course his life, but I'll just give you a little reminder of it, and let's start from when he was a little child, and he was a child, and his mother took him on top of a bell tower, and somehow he fell down, and I went over there to see the place. It was very high, at least 3 or 4 stories high, and so the mother ran down, and thinking that she will find already her son being dead, but he is standing there without any harm, and it was a great miracle that the Mother of God had helped him. And then the second time, when he was sick, he was in bed, and with high fever, and he was in such a terrible shape that Mama already thought that he's not going to survive. And then he had a vision from the Mother of God. She came, and she said to him, "I will come, and I will cure you and heal you." And then she told that to the mother, and then there was a procession coming from Kursk, from Novaya Karnaya Pustinya to Kursk, and Mother of God made it so that there was a kind of storm and rain and so on, and they had to cut their long procession going through the right past the house where Saint Seraphim, when his name was Prochor, then was there, and the Mother of God heard the procession coming with the icon, and she took the little child and then brought him to the icon, and he venerated the icon and got cured. And then he was determined. His brother, they were merchants, and his brother wanted to get him involved in the business, but his heart didn't like that. And he was drawn to the Lord. And the time had become 17 years old. He asked his mother, he said he wanted to become a monk. And his mother seeing his life and knowing how he was truly not interested in the worldly things, but only in the heavenly things, and she gave the blessing and gave him a big cross out of metal, and the future saint went to the monastery, and after a while they made him a monk, and then they made him a higher deacon, and he was staying in there and keeping the fasting rule. On Wednesday, Friday, he didn't eat anything, and he would only take a little bit every day of a little bit of bread, and truly was living not as a human being here, but as an angel, always standing through all the services, never leaning against anything, and just standing for hours, and then he gotten a blessing from his spiritual father to go into seclusion, and he made himself a little tiny shack where he had started to live, and he made him a very tiny garden in the summertime, and he decided he's going to do a great feat. He will stand on his knees for 1,000 days and 1,000 nights on the rock on his knees, as you see it depicted many times on the icons. And my beloved, his legs were so damaged from this, but he withstood all that. From that time on, it was very difficult for him to walk, and he had endured everything for the sake of the Lord and for the love of the Lord. And then he got sick with a what they call vajanka, I don't know how you say it in English, is where the whole body is all bloated up, and there's some kind of liquid is filled, and then they couldn't do nothing about it. And finally, and he was laying in bed for 3 years, and then the abbot was taking care of him, and then finally the abbot said, we're going to call a doctor and see what the doctors can do about it. But he begged him, no, please don't call the doctor of the world, call the doctor from heaven, the healers from heaven, and please give me Holy Communion. And they had specially made a all-night vigil, and they had the liturgy, and he received Holy Communion. And then all of a sudden a beautiful thing happened. The Mother of God being escorted by two angels with beautiful twigs with flowers, and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John, the theologian, was escorting her, and she comes in right into his kelia, and everything is lit up brighter than in the sun, and such a beautiful fragrance came over the place, and she pointed out to the saints. Serafima tells to the apostles, he is ours, he belongs to us. And she came up to him and put her hand on his head, and said obviously a little prayer, and healed him, for a opening came on the left side of his rib, and then all the liquid that was there started to drain, and very shortly it was all drained, and he gotten totally cured. And of course this is not the first visitation that the Mother of God had made for him, because he loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, and soul, and might, and loved the Mother of God and all the heavenly dwellers, and he loved all the people. And you know, at one time there was some robbers that came, they were gonna figure that, oh, he has so many visitors, they come for advice, spiritual advice, and for healings, because he would do all kinds of healings by anointing with the oil from a vampara, of the icon of the Mother of God, and people would get cured. So these robbers thought that, oh, he's probably hoarding lots of money from the donations, and they came up to him. At that time he had a big axe with him, he was chopping some wood for his stove, because he had a little stove in his kelia, and when he saw the robbers, then he could have used the axe and chased them away, because he was a strong man, and yet he thought immediately what the gospel says, those who take up the weapon or a knife, they will die also by it, and they will be destroyed by it. So he put down the axe on the floor, crossed his hands, crossed his chest crosswise, and they came up to him and took the axe and hit him on the top of the head with the blunt part, and cracked his skull, and he fell down, and they started to beat him with the sticks and trample on him, and broke many ribs and did all kinds of damage to him until he stopped breathing. So then they thought he has died, and they decided they'll tie him up. They tied him up so that they will take, after they rob him, they will take him and throw him in the river so nobody will find out what they had done. My beloved, well, they looked through all his little shack and tore everything apart and couldn't find not a penny, couldn't find any money whatsoever, no gold, no nothing. The only thing he had there was the gospel in the little pouch, and that he was always, he had it with him, and the icon of Mother of God. And so then they were so disappointed, and they got so scared, and they ran off and they left his body laying there. But he came to after a while, and with great difficulty was able to untie himself and get himself to his little shack, or keli, as they call it. And later on, he got a little stronger and was able to kind of crawl and get to the monastery, and they put him in a hospital. They had the hospital there, and he was all bloody, all his hair was filled with blood. And then they, when the doctors examined him, they said it's just a miracle that he survived such a beating. He had several broken ribs, he had a cracked skull, he had been maimed for the rest of his life, and he had to become like a hunchback when he couldn't straighten up anymore. And this is what they did. And of course, the robbers, they were apprehended. When he found out about it, he immediately sent them a message, please let him go, release him, and don't punish him for what they have done. And and he even threatened that he would leave the Sarov Pustinia if they will punish him. And well, they let him loose, and without punishing him, but the Lord had punished him, destroyed their lodging was destroyed. So they came to Saint Seraphim and asked forgiveness, and of course he forgave them. He prayed for them. He prayed for them so hard when they found out that they were incarcerated. And that's the kind of love that Saint Seraphim had, according to the gospel, what we're supposed to have. We not only love those who love us, but we have to love our enemies, and we have to pray for our enemies. And because the true love is, again, I've said it many a times, the true sign of a love for somebody is when we pray for them. May Saint Seraphim, we know that he loves us, and may he continue to pray to the Lord and to the Mother of God to give us help and guidance, so that we'll be able to conquer everything we have to conquer, so that we'll be able to be rejoicing with him in the kingdom of heaven forever. Amen. God bless you.